Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
With the economy down, it's amazing how not working can shine light on what you're working with. Dark times need enlightenment. We gotta wake up, open the blinds, pull back the covers, and get from under what's not important. No more inflated values, missed priorities, or irreconcilable divorces. Love is in need of assistance, so we need to change the system and redefine where the wealth is. Saving Wall Street don't mean nothing if we can't pay attention to what's relevant. Us, the state of you and me, is in need of more stimulation than economics. We need more investments and spiritual kisses and more intimacy between partners. You see, money is backed by gold currently, but that real currency is making this house a home for you and me, backed by what we do and how I love and respect you. Loan modifications for houses, but there's no foreclosures on this home. We own this, no loan on this. You're my 401k, my retirement. Everything I own invested in your feelings. Wide awake and sleeping with my future on this. It'll take more than a depression to hold down elevated consciousness. I just play the kindred souls everywhere, able to bear witness and feel this.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We welcome you once again to the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. I also have hosting with me is Sister Sanders and Brother Feaster. How y'all doing this evening?
I am doing good. I am excited, and I am ready.
And Sister Sanders?
I'm doing good.
Oh, y'all going to have to catch up now. If y'all don't have no energy, and I don't have no energy, I don't know what kind of show this is going to be, so we're going to have to do something about that early in the game. For those who are tuning in to us for the first time, we welcome you. We thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come and sit at what we call the table. At the PRF table, we engage in just some stimulating conversations, open and honest dialogue. Tonight we're going to be talking about debt. We've been talking about debt in one shape, form, or another over the last couple of weeks. And the whole purpose of this, we believe that God has laid on our heart, is to talk about this particular subject in a way that people can be free, liberated, and move on and live the best type of lives that we believe God would want you to live. We've talked about a lot of good things over the last couple of weeks. We're trusting and believing God that in all that has been said and all that has been done, that some people are getting the help that they need. And we're intentional about not really putting anybody down. We want people to be okay and understand that God just loves you just the same. If you have some debt situations that seems like you're just not going to be able to get out of. But I think Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders will agree with me that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Oftentimes it's some of the things that we must do in order for God to do what he's able to do. So with that, we want you just to feel free to join into the conversation. Press 1 on your dial pad or hit us up on Facebook if you would like to join to the conversation. So our Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. And on your dial pad, on your telephone, if you're calling in and listening, press 1 and we'll see you on the switchboard and we'll bring you into the conversation. Again, this is a place where everybody has a seat at this table. So it doesn't matter what your financial situation is, what you have going on in your life, you are valued just the same. So with that, welcome once again to all of our new listeners. Welcome back for all those who've been listening faithfully with us since last year. And we'll start with our sister Sanders this week because she was not with us last week. So we know you have a lot to say, my cousin. So how are you doing this evening? Give us a little bit that you have in you that maybe you didn't get out last week.
Oh, boy. Well, I am very, always very happy to be a part of the PRF table. And I can honestly say that I have just grown. And I think sometimes when you're in this setting, and I mean as, you know, being a person that's talking about debt and assets and resources and finances, possessions and things like that, sometimes you feel like, how am I qualified to talk about these things? Because I don't know a whole lot. I only know what I have experienced. And yet, while I have my experience, I'm still striving every day for my finances and my possessions and resources to be a blessing not only to me and my family but to other people. And I will tell you, I have been challenged. I know me and Feaster have had this conversation. I know you and I, Nate, have had this conversation to where I have really been challenged personally to say, God, sometimes I don't know if I should be doing this because I don't think I'm qualified to talk about something that I have not yet obtained 100% in. And I say that because I think transparency is just so key. You know, if somebody were to ask me, well, you know, I know 2 shows ago we talked about our debt. Is it moderate? Is it good? Is it poor? You know, is it excessive or is it just straight off the charts? And I had to really think about that because sometimes we think we're here, but in reality we may be somewhere else. But what I've been learning is that I've been learning, and it has really kept me cognizant of what I'm doing. Am I being a good steward? So I have been so thankful because a lot of times, you know, when you talk about finances with Christian people, they get a little scared because don't nobody, you don't want to be in somebody's, I call it a purse book or their wallet. But I will, I can say that the transparency and just being a vessel that is, one, being obedient and willing to share and to talk about those hard issues, it has been a blessing for me, so much to the point that I have been able to share with other people. And I think that when we get to a place in our life that we are not ashamed, embarrassed, or afraid, and we take that risk to share what we've been through and maybe some things that we are currently going through, that God can use that same, those situations that you may be in as a stepping stone for somebody else. And so I have just been blessed in so many different areas, not just financially, but just in wisdom. And am I making the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? Can I talk to this person about this and get the results that I need? So I am so thankful, and I'm thankful for the challenge. I'm thankful for the dialogue. I'm thankful for even when it seemed like it was hard for us to pull out from what was in us, because sometimes that can be difficult to do because you don't, not necessarily that you're intentionally trying to offend somebody, but you don't want to be offensive in what you're saying, but it's the truth. And so I really think that where I am right now is totally different than where I was last year, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. I really am. I'm so cognizant of what I do, learning from other people, from their experiences and things that they share with me with their finances. So I don't know. I'm just thankful. I really am. I've been learning a lot about me. It's definitely been challenging for me.
Well, we think that is important. Brother Fisa, I'm coming to you. But one of the things that you said, and I think is good, the way that God orchestrates this show for us, you said you asked a question, I guess, to yourself, and maybe it was to God about you know, being, are you at, since you're not at 100%, are you qualified to even talk about this? And let me say, I think that is very good because I know we have some people out there listening to us. Yes, you are qualified, and that's what some of the show is going to be about tonight. We're going to be talking about your testimonies regarding debt. And I think, not to bring too much out in the open this early in the show, but I think sometimes people may think or believe that if my debt situation is not straight, then I can't say something else to somebody. Or if my debt situation is not where I want it to be, I'm not qualified. And I really don't believe that is the heart of God. because in all actuality, all of us have fallen short. Brother Feaster and myself and Sister Paula was talking last week on the show, and one of the things that I said was, we all don't have it together when it comes to debt. You know, we're making maybe some good decisions, but we've not always made some good decisions. So one of the things that we'll talk about tonight is testimonies regarding our own debt situations, because people need to hear that. And if you can give a testimony while you're going through something, Sister Leah, how much greater will that testimony be when you come out? Because a lot of times I really believe that so many people don't value what they're going through because it's painful, because it hurts, because it can be embarrassing. But the beauty of it is when you see God operating in the midst of it, while you are going through it, and I'll add this, you have other people around you that are willing to embrace you, they're willing to encourage you and say, you know what, just hold on. And not to say just hold on and go about their business, but hold on, let me walk through this thing with you.
Right.
I think there's some power in that. Brother Feaster, I'm dropping the mic. Go ahead, sir. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And if you had anything from last week, please share it with the listening audience.
I sit down the whole week, and well, not necessarily sit down, but I spend a lot of times after the show really looking at and thinking about what we talked about during the show. I feel the same way I did, though. I've learned so much doing this because, like I said, you know, when we first started this, this is not my major. I mean, I'm studying to be, you know, a marriage and family therapist. So this is like, and my wife handles the money. So this is like a major learning lesson and understanding just how much debt or how much resources we have that we can use to help us through. I'm learning that, you know, not all debt is bad debt. I'm learning that, you know, sometimes it's just coincidental. Sometimes it's just, you know, whatever. It happens. It just happens. And I think that's a major lesson, because for so long I thought debt was such a negative thing, when sometimes debt is just, it's just life. You know, nobody wakes up in the morning and prepares to have a traumatic situation happen, an accident, the loss of a child, the loss of a job. Sometimes it just happens. And we go into debt as much as we've planned and as much as we prepare and as much as we've, you know, just thought about the situation and all that good stuff. Sometimes life just happens and we just have to deal with life. And one of the things that's really been thinking about this past week is something that is talked about in the book of John, when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And if y'all don't mind, I'm gonna read just a couple of verses in Luke.
Go ahead, bro.
Correction, John chapter 11. I'm gonna read from 41 to 44. 41 says, and I'm reading out of New King James. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, and they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44 is really what I want to focus on. And it says, and he who died came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. That, for me, verse 44 is a depiction of debt. Be it good or bad, it's a depiction of debt. We accumulate debt a lot of times not on our own. So when I go to purchase something on credit, somebody has to give that to me. Yes, I'm going to pay for it. Yes, I'll put it on credit. But somebody has to give me the credit. Somebody has to give me the item. So what this verse 44 tells me is, what this text is telling me is that things are put on us to cause us to be in debt. Or we go out and acquire things that cause us to be in debt. Either way, we don't acquire debt by ourselves. It's a community effort. It's a community thing. It's more than me. I can't be in debt with myself. And what the text is saying, Lazarus was released, but yet he was still bound. He was still released. He was released. He was rose from the dead. He found a new way of life. Let's bring it to the 21st century. He found a new job. He won the lottery. He got a promotion at work. You know, something major, life-changing happened. But yet, even with this life-changing event that happened, the Bible says that Lazarus was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. So even after that promotion, even after that raise, even after that lottery win, even after that I found some money or acquired some money, we are still bound. And Jesus simply says, loose him and let him go. And that's how I feel about debt. That has just really been on me all week. That's how I feel about debt. A lot of times we just have to be loose from the bondage that debt is causing us. And last week, JR, you really struck a nerve in me when you kept, you know, pushing that not all debt is bad debt. So, and that really got me to think about, it really, really, really got me thinking about Lazarus and that loose me and let him go. Because Lazarus was in a situation. He got put in a situation. Jesus came and rose him from the dead, but after the resurrection, there was still something that needed to be done. So even after we acquire this debt, regardless of how we acquired it, there is still something that has to be done. There has to be the loosing of the debt. There has to be the release. There has to be that freedom. There has to be that just, you know, letting go that really, you know, because we can be in debt and debt cannot be us. You know, we're not defined by our monetary value. But a lot of us are. And that's why that it's just, it really just been on me when it said, loose me, loose him and let him go. Now, it didn't say, Lazarus, loose yourself. Lazarus was bound. Lazarus was bound hand to foot, even his face. It took other people to go ahead and loose him. And, JR, you've been talking about this for the last two or three shows that we talked about debt. You've really been talking about how if we came together as a community, when you go back to 2 Kings and talk about the widow woman, you know, if we come together, we can loosen the debt of each other. We can help each other out. Just like in that text, they all came together to help her out. And it's the same thing in this text. It takes a community to help. It may not be giving up the money. It may be just, if I'm a business owner, it could be simply allowing you to work off some of your debt. You know, if I may not be a business owner, but I got a car, you try to get a job, get to your job, maybe I can drop you off. You know, but the whole thing that I'm saying is it's not just one, you're not getting in debt by yourself for one, and two, it's not you that's going to get yourself out. It took more than one person to get in. It's going to take more than one person to get out. We all have a shared responsibility in that. And that's really just what's been just like resounding for the last week. And that's my thought. That's what I've been thinking about, JR.
You know, and I think what you have said, Brother Feaster, is good. Some people need to hear that. And like I said, from this is our third week really dealing with debt in one manner or another. And y'all know for a fact that I said we must be intentional about giving people hope. We must be intentional about helping people become liberated. We must be intentional about realizing that, as you said so eloquently, Brother Feaster, it's not an individual problem or an individual situation. It's really a communal because somebody had to extend the credit and then somebody had to take the credit. And if you remember last week, Sister Sanders, you were not there on the line with us last week, but I said, you know, let's get out of this mindset for those who are in it, and then this will free somebody, that just because I get in debt, that it's all on me, and that I'm the only one who has any type of responsibility for the debt that I'm in.
Right.
Because in the big scheme of things, and this is when where I think what you said, Brother Feaster, and you brought it back, and for those who weren't listening last week, I'm glad they heard this, there are various different types of debt. And some people are in debt not because they've just went out there and opened up a credit card account and went wild buying cross-color gear like I did or FUBU or whatever it is. Some people are in debt because they may have gotten laid off their job and not had enough savings in their account to keep on maintaining. You know, we have people that's living in this country that's been unemployed for a year, 2 years, some 3 years. That's a long time. And you have to be, let me backtrack the way I was going to say it. We have to be smart enough to realize that there's a lot of people not talking about their debt situations. And so most people, a lot of people will wait until something may get a little bit bad. And if the situation starts to get bad or gets a little bit grave, then people want help. What we're proposing on the PRF table is two things. Let's look at how we can help those within a debt situation right now, and let's also look at those of us who are not overburdened with debt. Praise God for that. And be able to think about our neighbor who is in debt and what can we do. Because, I'm about to go to the caller that we had waiting on the line. God didn't bless me not to be overburdened with debt for me to just be gloatful and say, you know what, hey, I'm cool. Forget you, Brother Feaster, that you're going through it right now with your debt situation. I just can't see it. That's not the type of God that I serve, and that's just where I stand. So we have a caller right now calling in from Philadelphia, PA. Last 41259. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
This is your cousin, Saeed. How are
I know
you?
It. Welcome, Saeed. Welcome to the table once again. What's on your mind, bro?
Well, I mean, I've been listening as I always do, and it's a good show. I think debt, for me, is one of those things I couldn't wait for you to kind of get around to. Last week, you were teasing me. So I had to call in this week because, you know, as we do, I listened to you lead a nice segue into my comment. You talked about God, and the God that you serve doesn't want us in debt. And I have to go and say it's one of the reasons why, as you know from my previous shows, I'm Muslim and I love listening to you. I love to talk, but I this talk show and I wanted to chime in. It is one of the reasons why we are commanded as Muslims not to deal in interest.
Mm.
We, because of the fact that interest does nothing but create debt. If we look around at our situations, you talked about people who lose their jobs, you talked about, you know, different debt that comes from different areas. Almost 90% of the debt that comes that plagues us in this country is interest-based. And that interest, regardless of how we look at it, it is lending money or charging people money on something that they did not earn. And it's something that we as Muslims are commanded not to even indulge in. And I say that to lead into this. If we really wanted to address the debt situation, I'm talking about with our friends, with our families, with our neighbors, with our congregations, we have to first start talking about responsible spending. And that starts with understanding that if we, as I said on the show a few weeks ago now, if we just start our credit card debt, you want to help somebody? Help them get the interest off their neck. Help them get that interest off, and then they can start a really serious talk about reducing debt. We've become so dependent on living beyond our means and borrowing beyond what we can pay for that when these bad things happen, we aren't prepared to deal with the situation. You know, when we do lose our jobs or when we lose two incomes, you know, I sit around and I laugh at myself because I know better, but I live in an apartment by myself and I still have two TVs. Who's watching the other? Who's watching the other TV? You know, and we have to think about that. We have to start really thinking about that. And I just wanted to chime in real quick. I don't want to take up too much time, but I agree with you. But if we want to start really talking about helping people get out of debt, we need to educate them on the ills and the ills that not just ills for financial, but ills from a religious and every other aspect of our lives is we got to get rid of the interest. We got to get rid of living off of money we don't have. And I'll end on that one.
Hey, Brother Saeed.
Yes.
You don't have to go, so you mind if I ask you a question or two? Or let the other host ask a question if they want to. You know, I love it when you call in. I love it when you and I talk. For those of you who don't know, Brother Saeed is my cousin. Brother Saeed has also been on the show as a guest last year and a couple times on several different shows that we've had so far. And one of the things I remember when we had these had you on the show as a guest, and I can't remember the name of the show that we had you on, but I think it was dealing with stewardship and religion. You struck something that I think we all need to hear and maybe reiterate, because since you've been on the line, a whole bunch of more individuals are ready to chime in and also have joined on to listen. When you said that Muslims are commanded not to indulge in debt, can you expound on that just a little bit more? And the reason I'm asking you to do that is this. Everybody knows I'm a minister. I love God. I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Brother Saeed and I think you were on the show. One of the shows that you were on, brother, was when we were dealing with diversity in the church. And if we cannot have conversations with our neighbors, regardless of what our religious affiliations are, our denominations, our religious connections, there is something wrong, because the reality is, in the country that we live in, United States of America, you're not going to be in a city that all is just one type. Diversity is something that we just can't get around and is here to stay. And if there is something that I can pull from somebody else, I'm going to pull from it. I love the fact that you said Muslims are commanded not to indulge in interest. And I think that's what you said, interest, right?
Yes, so, Lord. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
So for if that is 90%, if 90% of the debt that we're facing as people in this country and it's in interest fees, it only makes sense that, okay, maybe what we're doing from a Christian perspective, maybe it's not working. And let's not be so ignorant to think that we cannot learn something from somebody else just because they are not a Christian. So many people listen to this show that are not all Christians. So why should they listen to me if I'm not willing to listen to them? So can you expound on that a little bit, or however you want to go with it, brother? Because I think that if, regardless of where it comes from, it's still valid. I think, Brother Fries and Sister Sanders, you would agree. That is valid. I mean, the problem is there. So in order to address the problem, we have to talk about the problem.
Oh, sure. What we're commanded and what we're told is that charging money or for the sake of just charging money is against God's command. And you have to think about it from the practical reason. Everything that Muslims do that they practice is not just from a spiritual aspect, but it's also a practical application of building community. Interest, if I lend you $20, what hardship do I need? Am I incur? What hardship am I taking on by lending you that $20? If I don't have the $20, then I don't give it to you. I have no right to give you $20 and then tell you you have to pay me back $15 on top of the $20. Because now what I've done is I've hurt you more than helped you, and in the essence, what I've done is I started to deteriorate the community. And that's why We're commanded not to deal in interest. We can't charge it, and we cannot even have our money. Technically, we're not even supposed to have our money even indulging in it. So I shouldn't even be going. I don't even, as a Muslim, if I were to follow the rules more strictly, I wouldn't even put my money into an account that gains interest. Because indirectly, I'm still doing exactly what I'm not supposed to do, and that is collecting money on money I did not earn, money I didn't do anything to work for. I didn't give the blood, sweat, and tears to earn it, so I have no right to charge it or to assume it. So, and if you think about that, if we took the credit card debt out of our lives, how much more money would we have to spend on God's causes, helping the community, helping the church, giving tithes, helping the poor? You know, I think right now, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this as being self-righteous, and or am I not being hypocritical, because right now I'm still trying to get out of credit card debt myself. So,
gotcha.
But understanding the why of it, because if I think about it, I borrow $1,000 and I'm paying 18% interest. If you pay the bare minimum on that, and it'll take you 15 years, and you're going to pay somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000 on a $1,000 borrowing. What did that $6,000 do go to help the community? Where did that $6,000 go to help make sure the church has lights or has water? Where does it go for my neighbor who's hungry, or the elderly lady who needs food? That is the reason why, because it sucks out of the community, and then the community itself folds. We all know. I mean, I know not everyone on this show is African American, but I'm going to say what it is. One of the biggest problems with the African American community is we spend 90% of our income. 90% of our income is spent, which means we're saving somewhere around 10%. And if you look at that 10%, I mean, if you look at that 90%, the studies have shown somewhere between 75 to 90% of that debt being spent is related to some kind of interest-bearing account. So, even if you let's take it coming from a Muslim off the stage. If you don't want to listen to it because it's coming from a Muslim, fine. But let's talk about it from a practical standpoint. The practical thing is, if you deal in interest, either by spending using credit cards or borrowing money or doing whatever else, you end up paying 300 times the value of what you're getting. Which means that money in and of itself will cause you to is what creates the debt issues within our communities, especially minorities, regardless of their health base. So, you know, and that's the reason why we're commanded for it, because spiritually it eats at your soul, because now you're depressed, you don't have money, you can't take care of the things that you need to take care of, you can't take care of your families, you know, financially. You're strapped. You need to work harder, which affects your health. Then your health affects your well-being. It's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. So as Muslims, we're commanded not to do it. And by doing that practical restraint, you now turn that practical restraint into a worship of God.
Wow. I think you got everybody stumped. I think if you got some time, brother, Sister Sanders wanted to ask you a question or throw something at you if you got the time.
Sure.
Go ahead, bro.
What I'm always fascinated with is that, because you said a lot, but what I am fascinated with is that when you can, if I had to sum up everything that you said, it would be integrity. And a lot of times in our finances, we don't walk in integrity. And I don't know what that reason is. Maybe it's because, you know, people, we don't really talk about how much we make and what our expenses are, so there's really a lack of having to have integrity. But I think that's what it boils down to, not integrity in a that people should, you know, just be like, oh, well, I make this much money and I pay my bills and I did this, this, and this. But the integrity, which falls into stewardship, to say that the money that I have, I'm going to do the right thing with it. Even if people don't know how much or little I make, I'm still going to do the right thing with it, because I really believe that when you can show, and I know the Bible talks about, you know, being faithful over a few, being ruler over many, that when you can show that you can manage what you have, I think that it will open up doors for you in so many other areas, you know, to where you won't have to, you'll be able to be a blessing to others. And I know that's one of the things that you were talking about, that when we can do right by our finances and when we have integrity with our finances, if a brother or sister has a need, if a neighbor has a need, we can help them meet that need, because they may have fallen on hard times, regardless of what the situation has been. And so I guess that is the comment, but I wanted to get your perspective on that when you was talking about, you know, the whole part about planning and the whole thing with interest. Do you think that some people just lack integrity, or are there other variables that may be contributing to their financial situation, whether it's good or bad?
Well, I think you touched on a very good point. I think integrity in and of itself, that is I don't even know how to really kind of articulate that, but I think that other than what you just said, I can't say it any better. You know, the reality of it is having integrity in your life stems in so many different areas. And, you know, that lack of integrity then allows for you to go and, you know, not think about, you know, the broader picture. But I do think that one of the sad things that has come to a reality in this country is that we are, especially in the United States, we are a capitalistic country. And I'm not saying that I like capitalism. You know, I own my own business. I want to make money. So I'm not knocking capitalism. But what I am saying is we've gotten to the point now that having, regardless of what it does for our long-term picture, outweighs our common sense when it comes to money. You know, and I'm going to use myself, because I would be far remiss if I didn't go and say, like I said, why do I have two big screen TVs in my house? There's no reason for it. There is no reason for it. I can't even lie to you and come up with one. There's no reason for it other than I just like the fact that if I want to sit in my living room, I have this big TV. But now let's think about that. I had to pay either out of pocket or, you know, on credit, whichever way it came out, and I bought it. I go back and think about that, I teach four nights out of the week. By the time I get home, it's 10 o'clock. If I turn on the TV, it's the one in the bedroom for me to fall asleep on within the next half an hour.
Right.
The one in the living room doesn't get watched unless somebody comes over. So for 30 days, so if someone comes over 2 days out of the week, so that means 28 days of the week, the TV's watching the living room and the living room's watching the TV. That's that's $500 that I could have donated to a charity. That's $500 that I could have fed the homeless with. So I'm not saying this as a scolding to anyone else. I'm not saying it. It is a reminder to myself that is the reason why I've started to develop. And I said this a while to you on the last show. There's a debt reduction plan. I'm getting rid of all interest in my life. If I do this debt reduction plan, I'm willing to talk about it with anybody who's willing to listen. You don't have to have any a lot of money. You don't have to go out and borrow money. You can reduce your debt on the money that you bring in right now. The same $1,000, $200, $300, $30,000, whatever you bring in right now, you can be credit card. You can be interest free within 5 years, regardless of your income, assuming you have one, you can be debt-free. And when I say debt-free, I don't mean you're not going to owe your gas bill or your electric bill, but you won't owe that credit card. You won't owe that interest debt. And paying off of cash, strictly cash, is the best financial way to save and have money for your future. I learned that lesson the hard way. I learned that lesson because I end up being in financial debt. And I learned that lesson because things happen. Like the brother said a little while, sometimes things happen that you don't prepare for. But I have one lesson I did learn. I can't blame anybody. I can't blame anybody but myself. Because like the sister just said, if I had integrity with my money, if I was smart with my money, if I didn't allow my ego and my wants to outweigh my smarts, I would not have to worry about having this financial issue when something bad happens.
Mm.
And that's it's a frame of mind, folks. It's a frame of mind. It's hard to change. Don't get me wrong, because I paid off 3 credit cards and ran up 3 more. It's hard to change. It is hard to change. But if we do it collectively, like the brother said, like you said, it's not just one person's issue, because if the African-American community or the minority community or whatever community you're in, if you want to get out of this debt, it's going to happen collectively. But it has to start individually. It has to start individually. You have to make a prayer to God, because you can't do it alone. Don't think you can do it alone. Let me backtrack for a minute here. You got to ask God for help. And the first help you ask God for is patience. The second help you got to have ask for is not allow yourself to be afraid of this world and what man throws at you. Once you take those two things off the table, then you can start thinking honestly about how to reduce your debt, how to move yourself in a place that's going to be better, that's going to be more pleasing to God, how to move yourself in a place that your money is being used in a better way. It's being used to help people and not hurt, and not as a hurt to yourself. Once you free yourself of the fear of living in this world without, then you can truly start worshiping God in the way with your money. This is talking about with your money in the way that God wants us to. And that takes faith, not that blind faith that, oh, I'm just going to stand on the corner and wait for God to come by kind of faith. I'm talking about the faith that comes with practice, the faith that comes with, you know what, I'm not going to spend this, I'm not going to go out and charge this card up. I'm going to throw it in the corner. You know, I'm going to put it to the side. I'm going to make sure that I cut it up and not spend it. You know what, if I don't have money to eat this week, guess what, I'll fast. Instead of putting it on a credit card. If I don't have money for gas, you know what? I won't drive 2 blocks to the store. I'll walk.
Go ahead, Fred. You just struck a nerve in me, and that's something that I don't think we talk enough about this. There is a sacrifice when it comes to getting out of debt. We have to be willing to give up something. It's easy to give up the things that we don't like. I don't like Brussels sprouts. I give up Brussels sprouts. I don't like asparagus. I can give those things up. But I love music, and I love watching movies. So those are the things that, like, stopping going to the movies. I was doing it, and I went back to once a month, and now I haven't gone to the movies in about 2, 3, 4 months. You know, I don't think we talk enough about the sacrifice part of getting out of debt.
Well, you know what, we do talk about it. I think it's about who's talking about it and who's listening. We're talking about it. So as we're the ones who's talking about it, I think that is what is truly important, Brother Feaster, that we're the ones talking about it. We're placing the information out there. We're allowing God to use us. We couldn't have made this show any better than what it was, because, and I'll just put it out there, myself, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, we had no idea how God was going to take this show this evening. But the fact that we had a caller to call in lets you know that God is in the mix. And God will use, I'm going to put somebody on mute, God will let any of us, allow any of us to be able to help his people. That is something that is crucial. I think it's critical that we really get down and understand. And what Brother Saeed said, he talked about patience. We have to have patience. I think I said this from the beginning on the first show that we had about debt. It didn't take most of us an overnight trip to the hospital to get into thousands and thousands of dollars worth of debt. I think what it really took was us spending money on credit cards, on things that we didn't need, not planning properly, having emergencies, not having savings. So I really believe it took something like a process for us to get there. We've talked about that. So having patience with the process of allowing God to help reduce the debt. You know, tonight's show is about how do I reduce debt. Believe it or not, what you've heard, ladies and gentlemen, so far, you've heard a lot of different things that can help you to reduce debt, because a lot of things that is needed is within the mind. It's about thinking through something. How can I do this? Brother Fisa, you talked about cutting back on the movies. You know what? You can watch as many movies as you want. Now, Netflix is not, you know, it's not a commercial for Netflix, and I don't have them, but from what I hear, that's like the best thing smoking when it comes to being able to watch movies all the time. So really, it's just about making a choice of what movie you're going to see, because I'm sure there's thousands of movies that you have not seen, but what is it, that desire that's within you that says, I need to go out to the movie, and I need to go to somebody else's movie theater? When God has blessed you with an apartment, or bless somebody with a house, or as Brother Saeed said, with a big screen TV in two different rooms. You know, we have, you mentioned it before, Brother Feaster, the answer is, more often than not, is right there with us. And if we take advantage of whatever is right there with us, I think we'll be a whole lot better off. And I think somebody needs to hear that. You know, again, look around and see what you have, but make some decisions about what's going on in your personal life, and then we tackle this thing from a communal aspect. Brother Saeed, did you have anything else that you wanted to share with your brother?
No, I think that we covered everything in regards to what I wanted to say. I think that I just really want to make sure I reiterate when I say to everybody, like you just said, it really is about patience. We didn't get into debt overnight, you know, and we're not going to get out of debt overnight. However, if we start really putting God first in our lives, and understand that putting God first isn't just going to church, isn't just going to the masjid, isn't just saying a prayer here and there. It's actually waking up in the morning and saying, okay, now what am I going to do today with my money, with my body, with my life, with my breath, with every aspect of what I'm going to do? How am I going to serve God today? And that starts with that first prayer in the morning. And then from there, if you let that resonate through you, if you let it go and you take those moments throughout the day to self-check yourself and say, hey, you know what? You know, I'm doing good. You get there. You know, it might start with not going to the movie. So that's $25 that you can put. But that $25 got to go to something. You just can't not go to the movies with it. You got to put that $25 on that credit card. You got to go and say, okay, I'm not going to go, and I'm not going to go to the movies, but what I am going to do is I'm going to put that $25 on the credit card. I'm not going to go and, you know, I'm going to save some money on gas, so instead of, you know, riding in the car all the time, I'm going to actually walk. So now that extra gas money, you got to put it on something. You got to make sure you're not just not doing, but you're actively doing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it's a good thing when we put out all of these different ideas that God has given us, practical solutions. Because where we're from, Saeed, you know, you're still in Philly, I'm not, I'm down south. And the reality is there's plenty of places that you can walk to because of the fact of how Philly is set up. However, for some of us who are in some rural locations, you need to have a car. So guess what? What Brother Saeed is talking about, walking versus riding may not be an option for those who live in the country and the Walmart is, you know, 15 miles away. But maybe there's something else that was said that you can actually do. And when you do what you can do versus what you can't do, when you focus on what you can do versus what you cannot do, I think those of you who are in debt who are actually looking for ways to reduce your debt, your mindset will change. God will use it. God will bless you, and you will be able to bless somebody else. So, Brother Saeed, thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to come back and bring some more comments to us, feel free to do so. We appreciate you so much.
If not, thank you for always giving me the opportunity to speak. God bless everybody, and remember, keep God first in your life.
All right, amen. Thank you, man. We love you.
Love you, too.
Sister Sanders.
Yes.
Brother Feast. Okay, I just want to make sure. I know y'all are sitting there with your mouths hanging down to the ground in awe from Brother Saeed. It is an amazing thing how God just takes this show and just allows how he wants this thing to flow. I'm so elated that it happens like that. One of the things that I wanted to really just throw out there was a couple of statistics, because we're talking about how do I reduce debt. That's from today's show. If you want to join into the conversation like Brother Saeed did, press 1 on your dial pad. If you're on Facebook and you're following us and you have some comments, possessions.resources.finance. Finances is the Facebook page. Let me throw out some debt, because Brother Saeed talked about consumer debt. And as I mentioned on the previous shows, there's a lot of different types of debt out there, but consumer debt is what I had this information before Brother Saeed came onto the show, which is what's really killing folks. Listen to these averages for U.S. households. The average U.S. household credit card debt is $15,400-plus.
Oh, no.
That's average. The average mortgage debt in the United States is almost $150,000. And the average student loan debt is $34,700-plus. That's a lot of money.
Oh, that's a lot of debt.
So when Brother Saeed said nothing more than what he's commanded to do as a Muslim, and that is not to indulge in the types of debt. Can you imagine if, forget what your religious affiliation is for a minute, Brother Feast to Sister Sanders. Can you imagine if so many more people followed what Brother Saeed said he's commanded to do, or they're commanded to do as Muslims? Do you think $15,422 for average credit card debt in the U.S. household would be that number would be so high?
Mm-mm.
Do you think the average mortgage would be $149,000 in the United States? Remember last week, well, for those who don't remember, I'll say it. Matter of fact, let me go to Sister Paula. Sister Paula, are you with us? Okay.
I'm with you guys. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I know you didn't have any comments, but I really would like for you to tell the listeners about the story about the gentleman that you met when you were out in Houston that talked about building a house. Can you tell us that story again? Because I think with that figure that I just brought up to us about the average mortgage debt in the United States being $149,000 and what the brother did that you met, I think somebody hears that again, that will help somebody to prevent them from adding to that $149,000 average.
Correct. His story amazed me. And as I was listening to the Muslim brother speak, I instantly began to wonder if the gentleman was Muslim, because he was so in line with what the gentleman said. And it's all about patience. But the gentleman said to me that he was building a house. And I said, wow, that's nice, that's commendable. And he said to me, but it's going to take a little while because I'm building it out of pocket. And I had never heard anyone say that they were building a home out of pocket. I've known people who have had money and purchased a home cash, but to actually be in the process of building a home, cash money out of pocket from your place of employment, from your income that you make on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis, that amazed me. And I spoke a little bit about it with him, and he said, all it takes is patience. And I said, wow. You know, and if we as people, he's building a large home, if we look at the little things that we purchase, as the gentleman stated, a television, we can be patient and purchase a television with cash money as opposed to going and finance it and paying interest on the money that we're using. It makes a whole lot more sense, and we can do a lot more with our dollars.
Isn't that the truth? Thank you, Sister Paul. I really just felt the need that somebody needed to hear that, because I'm sure there's some, you know, there's this thing about the American dream and about home ownership. And then there's a lot of people that bought into that because it was commercialized.
Right.
It wasn't put the way that that brother shared that testimony with you. Remember, I said we were going to talk about testimony. That's a testimony within itself because right from the jump, this person is living a testimony out. The test is his patience. The test is I'm not going to go ahead and put myself in this debt. I'm going to work these extra hours because I'm fortunate and blessed enough to have this second job, to work those extra hours, to do what I need to do. But the patience is the key. And I think that is the beauty of the testimony of that brother, whoever he is, that by his test and by his faith and by his patience, we're able to hear how you can do it. You know, Brother Feaster, if y'all have some, let me read something real quick. You know, in Deuteronomy 14, it talks about at the end of every 7 years, you must cancel the debts of everybody who owes you money. At the end of every 7 years, it's called the release of the debt, Deuteronomy 15. And God said, this is how it must be done. Everybody must cancel the loans they've made to their fellow Israelites. They must not demand payment from their neighbors or relatives, for the time of release has arrived. The release from debt, however, applies to your federal Israelites. One of the things that is also in that chapter, it said, if it is the almost time for that seven-year debt cancellation period to come upon you, and your neighbor asks to borrow money, God gives a real strict warning. You know that seventh year is almost around the corner, like a month away. Don't not give your neighbor what they're asking for, because you know that you're going to have to release the debt. So that means you're going to go ahead and go through it anyway. So if let's say it like this, I know that the seventh year of this release of the debt is going to be on January 30th. And here comes Brother Feaster asking to borrow $5,000. And I lend Brother Feaster that $5,000, and also take a note that it doesn't say anything about interest in Deuteronomy 15 as well, and when you lend money to your neighbor. So the best thing for me to do to follow God is to go ahead and lend that money to Brother Feaster. And then when that seventh year, when the end of that month comes, I have to release you from it. Think about it, gentlemen. Think about it, ladies. If we followed that same principle, those numbers that I just gave to you wouldn't be as high, because there are a whole lot of people that are in credit card debt well over 7 years. We go into mortgages as a norm in this country for 30 years. How does that work? Sister Sanders, I'm going to drop it to you because you're the one that really talks about this bondage of debt. I don't have a 30-year mortgage. I was like, you know what? I don't want that over my head. The reality is if I have a 30-year mortgage and I pay my mortgage on time, at the end of that 30 years, it's not as new as it used to be. And what if I want to buy another house? Then I'm starting over again. I just think it's crazy that we have people that are 60 years old that still have 15, 20 years on their house. That means there's some type of debt problem that maybe somebody needs to look at. Sister Sanders, go ahead. I don't want to monopolize it tonight.
Well, I was, I guess the best word to summarize is that we have to plan. And I know that we cannot always plan for every situation because sometimes the situations that we are in, like you were saying, are not due to something that we've done, because then we would be, you know, almost kind of crazy to think that, you know, it's something that we've done wrong. But there are things, times that situations will come, seasons will come where God will, it will give us a testimony for the glory of God. And so I think that just planning, having a plan is something that can definitely help us out. And I say that because, you know, in Proverbs, I'm trying to find the verse, but in Proverbs it talks about if a man makes a plan that the Lord will direct his path. And so I believe that it is so important for us to plan. It's so important for us to not wait until 2 years to start saying, now I want to save $10,000. We need to be able to look at to set goals for ourselves. And I say that because me and my husband were talking about us buying some land, and I have 9 more years until it's time for me to retire. But I don't want to wait until I have 1 year to retire to buy land. So we started now looking at land, doing our research, and different things like that so we to educate ourselves on what it is because we've never done it before. And so I just think that if we can start planning and setting goals, even if it sounds absurd, I think that we give God something to use. And sometimes in giving God something to use, we learn something and we can better help other people. I was talking to one of the captains today, and I was just sharing, you know, some things that I had experienced in a previous unit and how difficult it was. And I was just telling her, you know, I said, sometimes we are praying to God for him to do everything for us. But I gave her a real-life analogy. I said, when you say your grace, after you say the grace over your food, are you waiting on God to come down from heaven to feed you? And she said, no, ma'am. I said, so in everything that we do, it is always, we should first and foremost always consult, you know, the Creator, consult God and tell him what it is that we're doing, what we're desiring, but then also understand that we play a very vital and pivotal role in also the success of that. And once we've done everything that we can physically do in our own strength, that's when you got to know that God is going to come through. And so I think a lot of times we're not planning because maybe we don't have the knowledge or, you know, we just think that it's, you know, going to work out because, you know, you hear the testimonies, and I have yet to experience this to happen to me, but I hope one day it will, to where people debt just got erased magically. I mean, like, the system crashed for them, and these things happen. But a lot of times I still think that we need to plan, and I don't want to keep repeating myself over and over again. But I think planning is important, and I think out everything that Brother Saeed said, again, is that planning aspect of it.
And don't ever feel sorry about having to repeat yourself, because God repeats himself over and over. He's done it in our Bibles, and he does that to us. He tells us the same thing over and over. We go to church, those of us who are Christian or believers, we go to church to listen to the pastors say the same thing over and over at the end of every service. They give, you know, give your life to Jesus Christ. So say what you need to say, sister, however many times you need to say it, because we always have a different audience every time God gives us this platform. And we have no idea those who are listening on the other end. So say it. Brother Feast, are you still there, or are you watching American Idol?
American Idol gone off. I have fully attended this lately. Y'all ain't doing no sympathy with American Idol, so... I'm sitting here and just basking in the glory of what's being said. It's so much that's being said. I'm going to share my testimony right now, you know, something that happened this week that I really didn't think about till after it happened. I was like, man, that is perfect. So when I went home, and I don't know, many of y'all know, I'm a geographical bachelor. My family's in Tennessee, and I'm here in North Carolina. And I went home for my daughter's graduation at the end of the month of May. And my wife just found some, you know, we all the product of the 80s. We still got gold from the 80s. You know, we're still in love with gold, even though silver's the thing that's in right now. And we've all driven by those signs that say we buy gold. Well, my wife just picked up a couple. She saw some rings and a couple of necklaces, and she picked them up. And she said, I'm going to go sell them and, you know, just see how much money we get. Now, we didn't think nothing about it. My wife ends up taking that money and getting a substantial more money than what we were expecting, a whole lot more than what we were expecting. So she took that money and she took 80% of it, put it in our savings, and then took the other 20% and went shopping for her clothes, some more work clothes. So then she calls me earlier this week and asked me, there was a necklace that she brought me when I came back from Korea. And I've always been a fan of ropes and crosses. And that's what it is. It's a rope with a cross on it. And I said, I'm going to keep this necklace. The gold come back in. I already got my gold when gold come back in. She called me. She said, you got that necklace? I was like, yeah. She was like, send it to me. I need to buy Desmond some school clothes, some more clothes, because my son just grows like a weed.
And so I sent it off, and I was thinking, you know, instead of going and creating another bill, instead of doing, you know, working extra, you know, instead of having to sacrifice, all she did was what, you know, something that's been said on this show plenty of times. Look around your house, look around your room, and what stuff do you have there that you're not using that you can use to get out of debt? And that right there was phenomenal to me. So instead of acquiring new debt, she just took the stuff that we had sitting around. I'm sitting here waiting on gold to come back in. No telling when that's going to happen, to wear a necklace, you know. And instead, I could put some clothes on my son's back. And I'm going to tell you, I like that necklace, but I like my son dressing a whole lot better than I like that necklace. And so, I think that's appropriate, because it illuminated the fact of what we've been talking about. And I didn't think about what was going on, because I actually struggled about giving that necklace up, because I really like that necklace, and I really was waiting on gold to come back to wear. But I was like, I mean, when gold come back, I can buy another necklace. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. It's really just that simple.
But let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead, Feaster.
That was it.
Let me ask you this. How did you feel when that necklace, knowing that you no longer have or possess that necklace? I mean, what was the feeling?
Honestly, there was no feeling, because I had not worn that necklace in probably 2-3 years. No, more than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I barely see that necklace. I knew where I put the necklace, but I hadn't even seen the necklace. I wasn't even sure I still had the necklace. I told my wife, I think I have the necklace. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So giving it up was nothing, because it was a sacrifice, but it was all sacrifices are big, but it wasn't a huge sacrifice, because it was like, this thing is collecting dust. I mean, the question is, what's the benefit of it sitting in that drawer that it was sitting in?
Mm-hmm.
There was no benefit. So, no, I didn't feel anything. I mean, I went through a little remorse of, man, you know, I really wanted to wear this necklace again. But then it was like, but what benefit is this? I mean, it's just sitting there. It was dirty. When I wore it, it was never dirty. I never wore my gold dirty. And it was dirty. It was almost black as me. So I was like, you know what? It's like, what was the benefit of it sitting in that drawer? The benefit is putting some clothes on my son's back. That's the benefit. That, even though he ain't going to wear them clothes about 2 months, he's going to grow right out of them. But the fact that he's going to have clothes and we didn't acquire more debt, that's the benefit. That's the payoff. That's the buy-off.
And I think that is so important, you know, because a lot of times we want to hold on to stuff. But remember you talked about Lazarus, that release. And when we give up something, you know, I mean, the benefit and how it's going to, I guess, work out on our behalf in the end is far greater than us holding on to stuff. Like, and I'm saying that because I think you were saying, like, to loose the man. He had to be loose. We got to loose stuff that we have. And I hope I'm saying that in the right context. But a lot of times we just have to loose things because we're holding on to it, but it really is not serving us any type of value. There's no return on the investment. We basically have brought something, and it's just sitting there, just taking up space. Where, like you said, you know, when we talk about, oh, man, you know, I want to get a new lawnmower, but we have things right in our house that we can turn in or trade and get cash for it, and we can get that new lawnmower instead of having to finance it or get a credit card and put it on, you know what I'm saying, put it on credit where you got to pay the annual percentage and the finance fees that they charge you every month. You can pay $900 for a $400 lawnmower. And I think that if we start looking at the reality and start weighing the pros and cons and really just considering and counting the cost, I think a lot of times when we purchase stuff, we won't be as quick to do it because we'll realize that in the long run, it's probably not going to benefit us anyway. I mean, and I just think that what you shared was just so awesome and just, like, on point, because we needed to hear it. Like, I told my husband, we're going to have a yard sale. I mean, I believe in giving stuff away and being a blessing to people, but we also got to be smart and use wisdom, because having a yard sale, you know, that could be your gas money for the month. You even got to, you know, you can, instead of budgeting $500 for gas, you might just have to budget $250 because you done made that money from your yard sale. So I really like that.
And we have to consider, too, that, you know, everybody may not have a lot of stuff. Usually when we think about yard sales, we think about, you know, you have a whole bunch of stuff that you haven't used in a lot of years. Some people don't have a lot of stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of different variables that are out there. But I wanted to go back to Paula because I think Paula has something that she wanted to chime in on real quick. Paula, you still sitting with us?
I'm still with you all. It's funny how Sister did just stated about the yard sale. I never give yard sales, right? So this prior to leaving Atlanta and coming to New Orleans, my community had a yard sale. So I said I would be a part of this year. And I took out my stuff, put it on in the garage, little driveway, and I had a yard sale.
How did that work out for you?
How did it work out for me? I practically sold almost everything I had. And I made good money, and it was surprising to me because I had never did it before. I was like, wow, look at this. And instantly, I have to go back to what the brother said about if you're not going to spend the $25 on the movie, find somewhere else to put that money. And instantly, all these frivolous thoughts came up, and I all of a sudden needed this and needed that. And instead of applying those monies that I earned to my debt, I went out and bought the things that I felt like I needed. And I have to say, at this time, those things couldn't have been that important because I don't even remember what they were.
Wow.
And that was only a month ago. But that's how funny life is when we set out to do certain things. I know for myself, if I don't write down my goals or write down what I need to do, life will throw me something else and make me think that I need to do this right now when I've had all these other bills before that I should have taken care of. So that's my spiel on it. I know now, I know better to be more conscious of my spending habits.
Amen. Well, we are winding down, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for just taking your time out to sit down with us and Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, Sister Paula, Brother Saeed. You know, this is why I think that God has just brought all of us together in this type of forum, to be able to just have the space to talk, to provide the different valuable testimonies that all of you have shared tonight. I'm more than confident that God is going to use everything that we said to touch somebody's life, whether it's the individual that is listening to the show or somebody that they know, and be able to transfer that testimony and things that they've heard us say to somebody else. Just a couple things before we sign off for tonight. Tonight's show was How Do I Reduce Debt? If we go back and listen to the show, as I know Brother Feaster, you'll do, and I'll do as well, and Sister Sanders, we'll be able to come up with a list of several different things that we've heard from tonight's show. But one of the things that I think was really, really key to how do I reduce debt is honesty. Honesty, honesty, honesty. Honesty in what your situation is and honest with what you have. I think that yard sale mentality is a great idea for those who have things that they want to sell. There's some people that will not ask individuals for help. We talked about pride before. And in not asking somebody for help, maybe you can do a yard sale and then tell everybody. Then maybe you can allow yourself to get help that way, because that is the same thing. You're just not saying, I need help. So somebody may think, well, I'm not going to go by the yard sale because they're just throwing away their own junk. But if somebody knows, hey, this is what I'm trying to do to try to help my debt situation, be honest. Then maybe somebody would tell somebody else, hey, You know, I know Brother Dunlap, he's doing a yard sale. He's trying to get himself out of debt. If somebody said that to me, y'all, let me tell you, I'd be like, okay, let me go over there. And I promise you, this is the way the mind works when you're trying to help somebody. Where I may only pay normally $5 for that ashtray, I may pay $10 because I know I'm doing it and giving it to a good cause to help a brother or a sister out.
Mm-hmm.
That's that type of power that we are talking about, that if we just really pay attention, take the opportunities that God has given us to walk with somebody, to bless them, I think that we're going to be able to see a whole lot more results than we've ever seen before. So tonight's show is really dedicated to two people. And the two people that tonight's show is dedicated to, one I would say is to those who want to help. The other one I would say is the ones who want to receive help, or how can I say it like this, is dedicated to the ones who want to provide ministry and to those who are in need of receiving ministry. This thing is communal, y'all, as I say before. It's communal, and if we do it together in whatever space that God has allowed you to be in, I think we will have a lot better results than what we're having and a lot more greater testimony. So we're going to go and let you just soak in all that has been said tonight. We welcome you to come back and sit down at the table with us next Thursday, as we do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please go onto our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Please listen to the previous archive shows on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go onto our Facebook page, all of the shows are there. You can click on them from inside your Facebook page, or actually click on the link and take you to the Blog Talk Radio page. Hit us up on Facebook. My email address is jr.dunlap8@gmail.com. Let us see what we can do about helping you in your debt situation. So until next week, God bless you, God love you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Dreaming only lasts until you wake up and you find you're not asleep.
You last a lifetime.